You are now tuned in to the VF One Show with me, your host, VF Castro. I'm a veteran American sports journalist and political strategist, so each week I'll be discussing Formula One just a little bit differently. Thank you for spending time with me today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the VF One Show with me, your host, VF Castro. Y'all, I wanted to kind of take a step back for a few days from the Brazil Grand Prix just to kind of like, you know, process what just happened. Because to be completely honest, like most people in F1 right now, I'm like, what the hell happened? To simplify the Brazil Grand Prix, chaos, collisions, it's just pure carnage, truly. I mean, I think watching George Russell get his very first F1 win the day after winning the sprint race was probably, absolutely was the highlight, but I feel like it was completely overshadowed by the unnecessary shit show that was the Red Bull garage. So let's just kind of tuck into it because I feel like I've cooled down a lot. You know, a lot of people in F1, they were doing their podcast yesterday and on Sunday after the race on Monday, and it just is a lot of emotions involved. And I feel like sometimes you have to take a step back from what happened and just kind of process it a little bit. I mean, at least that's what my therapist says, and you know, she's rarely wrong. So let's get into it. All right. So to start the race, I think it's just like any race, you're always kind of worried about that first lap. If crazy shit is going to happen, it's almost always going to happen on that first lap. And it happened. Unfortunately, Daniel Ricciardo clipped K-Mag, who hit him, and then they were both out of the race. I think that just did something to people. Just because Kevin Magnussen had done so well, got his very first pole in his F1 career, and then to have him just, you know, like out of the race on the first, you know, the first couple sectors, that really kind of took the wind out of me. I know it took the wind out of a lot of people too, but we had no idea what was waiting for us in the last couple laps of the race, but we'll get to that. Don't worry. But I did think it was very classy of Magnussen to hug it out with Ricciardo right there. I mean, at that point, what do you do? It wasn't chaotic maneuver that was intended to cause, you know, a crash. It was just shit. It was one of those like shit happens, but like it was a really unfortunate thing. You know what I mean? Anyway, moving on. I just think that, you know, George, he had the pace. Mercedes had the pace. And frankly, I loved Hamilton's reaction to George's win. He was so happy for him. He moved out of the way so he could have a proper celebration with the team. I don't know if anyone else caught that, but even on the podium, it was like watching your son, like your child, like celebrate their very first like major accomplishment. And I felt like we got that energy from Lewis. You could see him during the trophy presentation. He was just looking at him like he was a proud father. And again, I think because of what happened during the last part of the race with Red Bull, just watching that, it just kind of, I think it just sort of reaffirmed our faith in humanity for like a second. But that was nice to see. I think, you know, again, after all the chaos that happened, that was really cool to see. But, you know, I think there's something that is there. I mean, I don't think it's a fact. There is something very special about the bond that Mercedes has with Brazil. Now that Lewis is an honorary citizen of Brazil, I think that having them win that race, they're having them have their first 1-2 as a team, first 1-2 in a long time. Yeah, just watching that, it was really exciting. I think that hopefully they can pull off a second place finish in the Drivers' Championship. They're only 19 points away from Ferrari after this race. There's only one more race on the calendar, and first place winner gets 25 points, second gets 18, third gets 15 points, and a bonus point is awarded for the fastest lap. So in short, Mercedes needs to keep Ferrari off the podium in Abu Dhabi. And I think with what we've heard from the Red Bull camp, they're prioritizing Checo in Abu Dhabi. So So Mercedes might get an unseasonable assist from Red Bull because I know that they're going to try and keep Ferrari off the podium too. So who knows? Maybe Mercedes will get that magic that they need. Maybe they'll get that. Well, they'll be able to continue the momentum from Brazil. But I don't know. I think it would be really cool to see Lewis get his first win of the season in Abu Dhabi. I hope Mercedes can get the pace and make it happen. And I think perhaps to some extent, Max was right when he said that the incident between him and Lewis potentially cost Lewis the win. But at the same time, I think that George just had the pace. I think everybody knew going into quali that, and the sprint race that Mercedes had the pace, that it was just they were going to be the team to beat. And so they did it. And I'm really happy that Lewis allowed George to kind of have that moment. You didn't really see him trying to race him as aggressively as I expected from Lewis. So I don't know if that was, I don't know what that was. Maybe he just genuinely didn't have the power. I haven't seen the data yet. But I don't know. I think that it is possible that Mercedes can still come in second in the constructors, which will be huge because when you think about the car that Mercedes first started the season with, it was a disaster. As a longtime Mercedes fan, watching that just hobble across the finish line after every race was just like, it was just cringe. It was not what we're used to by Mercedes standards. And I'm glad that towards the end of the season, we finally started to see them after Austin kind of pick up the pace. And that's pretty exciting. So I think that Mercedes fans have a lot of optimism going into 2023, and hopefully we can get back. But also another thing to note that with the standings is that the payout is based on where teams finish in the Constructors' Championship. So this stuff matters. And, you know, I think that from Red Bull's perspective and from Mercedes' perspective, it behooves them to try and grind it out even harder because everybody knows that because Ferrari has been in F1 longer, or rather, I think the longest, that they have this additional financial compensation that they get every season from F1. So they're going to get taken care of. So right now, I think that in terms of that extra cash, it's going to be full-blown war between Mercedes and Red Bull going into Abu Dhabi, which I don't know. I still have a little bit of PTSD from last year, but I think we're going to get through it. But yeah, let's get into the Verstappen and Perez incident. And again, a lot has happened since that race on Sunday. And I kind of wanted to, this is my journalist brain. I'm always trying to find concrete evidence to support what's being said and support the rumors, etc. And unfortunately, with all this, so much of it is hearsay. So much of it is this person said this and that person said that, and we heard this rumor and that rumor, and nothing is corroborated. I have reached out to so many different people from across so many different channels and avenues in F1, and I can't find a single source that can confirm anything that is really happening. So again, it's all hearsay, it's all speculation. So I just want to preface with that. But on Saturday, Checo Perez, he asked for some help in terms of getting points. He needed that assistance, and they continue to prioritize Max. In fact, they straight up brushed him off on the radio, and that was really kind of heartbreaking to hear because he's been such an amazing teammate to Max. And then the same thing happened on Sunday, except it was a hell of a lot more vocal. I mean, that was heard around the world, but again, Red Bull didn't seem to care. So after causing the incident with Hamilton, Verstappen served a 5-second penalty. So team orders were for Checo to let Verstappen pass him under the condition that if Max couldn't pass Fernando Alonso for P5, then he would give the spot back to Checo. And if he did this, it would have helped Checo eclipse Charles in the Drivers' Championship points. So after the Brazil Grand Prix, Perez and Charles Leclerc are both at 290 points in the Drivers' Championship. Now, this strategy, it seemed fair, especially if Max felt he had the pace and data confirmed it. Instead, Max defied team orders, and The team order said, don't worry about DRS, Max. Let Checo through. Max, let Checo through, please. Max responded by saying, I told you already last summer, guys. Don't ask me that again, okay? Are we clear about that? I gave my reasons and I stand by it. This is significant because it affects Red Bull's chance of a 1-2 in the Drivers' Championship, and that would be the first time in Red Bull history that they would finish a season in first and second. So Checo on the team radio said, thank you for that, guys. Thank you. It shows who he really is. Now, in a post-race interview, Checo told a Mexican outlet, no entiendo por qué lo hizo después de todo lo que hice por él. Sí, Red Bull tiene los dos campeonatos. Es gracias a mí, which translates to, I don't understand why he did it after everything I did for him. If Red Bull has both championships, it's thanks to me. So some pretty scathing words right there. This started in Monaco. And according to reports by Dutch media, it started when Perez crashed during quali in the Monaco Grand Prix of this year, which caused a red flag. This was when both Red Bull drivers were in healthy competition for the Drivers' Championship, and Checo finished third in quali ahead of Verstappen, and, you know, he just felt like it was better for the race itself, since Monaco is a difficult track to overtake on, which Fernando Alonso so annoyingly proved in that race. But, you know, Checo at the time, I mean, whether he did it intentionally or not, it did help him long-term in the race. He went from third place to winning the race. But it's important to note that even though Max thought it was intentional, there's no way of proving that fact. So according to reports, Checo admitted to Red Bull brass, but again, there's no proof of that either. Allegedly, Helmut Marko scolded Perez about this, even though Checo won the race, which that doesn't really seem fair. But once again, there's no real proof of this. Nobody has come forward with actual evidence and said that, yes, this was intentional. Yes, he admitted it. Yes, Helmut Marko scolded him. So this is all speculation. There's nothing to corroborate that. So again, take that for, you know, however you feel like translating that. But I wasn't able to find conclusive evidence that supports what the Dutch media reports have reported. And it doesn't really look like Red Bull is going to clarify any of this. They've said they've handled this in-house and they've kind of left it at that. But this is where it gets kind of confusing. If Max had spoken to the team about this prior to the race, that this, if this was the strategy, if they said to him, okay, plan B, plan C, whatever the, you know, whatever their code is, then, and if the team knew that Max would have defied orders, then why did the race engineer, why did Horner give him those orders knowing that it would cause such a firestorm of controversy? I would think that in terms of crisis mitigation, PR mitigation, they would have talked this out and they would have said as a team, okay, this is what Max has articulated to us, that if we choose to go with this strategy where we decide to let you overtake Checo and you can't gain pace on the driver in front of him, so we want you to give it back to Checo so that he has a better chance of earning more points, why didn't they just hash that out and say, this strategy is completely off the table. We're not even going to entertain this. We're not going to say anything. The radio is going to be completely shut to this option. And Checo, we know what happened on Saturday. We're going to try and help you out in Abu Dhabi. But in terms of this race, if Max has the chance to overtake you, we're going to let him do it. We're going to let you guys race it out. So again, like crisis mitigation, you are the number one team in the world right now. You have now two Drivers' Championships under your belt in Max. you now have a constructors championship under your belt that was sealed in Austin. Why are you allowing this completely unnecessary disaster to kind of overshadow your season right now? Because unfortunately, that's how people now are going to remember Max Verstappen for this campaign, which is unfortunate because of all the records he broke this year, all the headway that people felt like he was truly making as a person, as a man, and as a driver. So one thing that I think we can all agree on is that in every sport, it doesn't matter what the sport is, whether it's F1, football, soccer, wherever you're at in the world, you have a sport and you have athletes that for one reason or another, they don't like each other. For one reason or another, they have drama. For one reason or another, they try starting shit with each other as often as they can. There are NFL players who just do not like each other. They have to be separated. Like, officials already know that if these two are on the same field at the same time, you have to have your eyes on them. There are actually players who have been ejected from games for starting physical fights with each other. So F1 is no different than this. I think the difference between F1 and other sports is that a base Formula One car weighs 790 kilograms or 1,759 pounds versus a basketball, which weighs just 1.5 pounds. So, you know, if you have a problem, if you're a basketball player and you don't like someone and you throw a basketball, of course, you're going to have the force of the basketball, but it's going to be nowhere near the weight of an F1 car. And the thing people have to consider too is that since 1950, 32 drivers have been killed during a race weekend, 7 during test sessions and 12 during other events. We know how aggressive drivers can be. We have seen aggression cause collisions, cause incidences, and you know, most of them are completely unintentional, but we also know how road rage can be. We also know that drivers, they're not really exempt from this. And if they were, then I think you could probably, you know, lift a ton of points against their licenses right now, right? Because you wonder how many of the maneuvers are based on emotion to begin with. So, you know, I think that Max has become notorious for being aggressive, and drivers know this, so they move out of his way. I think they want to avoid confrontation with him because they want no part of it. And I think this is where there's so much tension between Max and Lewis and why they've had so many incidents is because you can't move an immovable object and Lewis doesn't play his game. Lewis won't move. He won't give him space if he feels like that's his to defend. And that's why they have so much tension. And so I think that Lewis doesn't do what other drivers do. And, you know, eventually I fear that there's going to be, I mean, we saw it last year between Max and Lewis. We saw the collisions, the incidents that happened between them. I mean, my God, if it wasn't for the halo last year, Lewis might not be here. And that's a scary reality. But, you know, F1 fans, they could say, oh, stop being so dramatic. Well, that's not being dramatic. We all saw what happened. So, I mean, look, if you have tension with someone on track, I mean, we're going to see it. It's going to come out. And I think this is where, this is why I've said for the longest time that I thought that Max was very immature. This year, I gave him a lot of credit. I said he's finally starting to show maturity and growth. And I think what we saw, it shows sort of him regressing in that maturity, in that growth. And I really, at this point, I don't know what's going on in Red Bull to kind of get him to the point where it's like, hey, you are a 2-time world champion. You have to act a certain way now. And I really do think that that needs to be something that Horner prioritizes in the off season, because we're fully aware that this is the Max Verstappen team now. He runs the show at this point. And they've got to make sure that they kind of pull the team back, that they start to say, all right, something bad is going to happen unless we intervene. And I think that that's really kind of all that needs to be said about that. But It's not just Max either. So allegedly, his mother commented on an IG post responding to someone saying a comment about him. Again, it was all deleted, so I wasn't able to see it, but she said allegedly, and then in the evening, cheating on his wife. The post was deleted. I was unable to independently verify this, but other blogs have posted about this. Other blogs have kind of given it a little more context, but I just, this was in reference to Checo's cheating rumor after the Monaco Grand Prix, where he was seen with a woman who obviously wasn't his wife. If you're curious, you can Google it. I'm not going to get into that. That's something that's within their family. And, this isn't a smut style podcast, so we don't really need to go there. But I think, again, this just exacerbates the drama, the theatrics of the situation, and all of this could have been avoided. I think Max helping Checo would have had zero impact on what he's already done this season. If anything, it would have been the ultimate bro move. It would have elevated him to the level of sportsmanship that we have yet to see from him. And I think that, that's the one aspect of Max Verstappen we have yet to see. We know he's a phenomenal driver. We know he is, he could easily win 8 if he wanted to. We know he is aggressive as hell. Because he's aggressive, drivers typically bow down and do whatever he wants. We know that, except for Lewis. And the only time Lewis ever backs off is when Lewis doesn't have the power, and that's it. So, I think this is why people dislike George, because they see a lot of Max in George. So the next time, if you're listening to this and you dislike George because you think, oh, he's too aggressive, he's a little, insert expletive here, why don't you like him? Because he's literally taking from the Max Verstappen playbook. So it's some food for thought there. But again, doing Checo a favor yesterday would have had zero impact on anything that he's done. And if it's to settle a score, if he genuinely believes that Checo did something in Monaco to purposely cause the collision, to purposely cause the red flag so he could start at a better position, knowing that it's harder to overtake. Again, when you're directly in competition for the driver's championship at that point, why not be selfish? Why not do something for yourself? If it was later on in the season when Max knew that he was, one race away from winning the championship, and then Checo did that to prevent him from winning the race, to prevent him from getting crowned that weekend, then yeah, I think he would have had a reason to be mad. He'd be like, dude, why are you sabotaging the inevitable? This is messed up. But he didn't do that. It was months later. So I don't know. But I think, sadly, this is what fans, I've said this, I'll say it again. This is what fans will remember of Max Verstappen, of what was otherwise a mega season for him. I mean, it couldn't have gone any more perfect. So yeah, to have it end like this is just, it's sad, but it makes you wonder, is Checo going to enter his Nico Rosberg era? He knows that Red Bull is, they have completely bought into Max Verstappen for the long haul. So really, what does he have to lose? Does he go rogue next season? I think that we all know that F1 drivers, they all have the same pit crews. They consist of, people in highly skilled positions that are trained for that precision uniformity. So you know that unless someone on your pit crew wants to sabotage a driver, you're going to get a uniformed product from your pit crew. But cars are not equal, and everybody knows this. So I think that could potentially be the only thing that puts Checo at a disadvantage for next year. But if Checo is still in a very high-powered car, I think that he could potentially cause some disruption for Red Bull. And, again, going back to the fact that cars are weapons, this puts Red Bull in a precarious situation. But again, if they're not going to prioritize Checo and let Checo drive and be a pure racing driver, the driver that we know he can be, then what the hell is the point? What's the point of being there? what to be Max Verstappen's number two and be known as that for the, you know, as your legacy. I think that to ask him to do that is frankly insulting to his career too. He has been one hell of a good wingman for Max, and I think it's time that Red Bull start to kind of give him some of the number one priority, especially in Abu Dhabi. And again, I would love to see Lewis win that race, but at the same time, I would also love to see Red Bull pay it forward for Checo and all of his loyalty to Red Bull. So I don't know. What do you guys think? There's a lot to, like I said, a lot to unpack here. I wish that there was more clarity being offered right now from Red Bull. I wish that I wish the Verstappen family would maybe consider hiring a publicist to clarify a lot of these things. I think that Max is very harsh in the way he speaks, and that's not a knock against Max. I think he's perfectly entitled to say what he wants to say. He's very to the point, which I respect. But again, I think people have a lot of questions, and he doesn't want to answer. He doesn't want to talk. Neither does Red Bull. And I think that after everything that's happened, we deserve some answers, because holy hell, y'all, this is worse than an episode of The Kardashians. At least with that, we know there's like some acting going on. We know that they have scripted that essentially themselves. But with this, it's like, how do you script this? The only people that are winning from this is Netflix. Can y'all imagine? All I want to hear is Will Buxton's commentary about this. I mean, the dramatics, you guys, I can't. Anyway, that is the show. If you guys have any comments on this, if you have any different takes, if you guys have heard anything else, reach out to me. Let me know, because as a journalist, I am curious. I try not to have opinions on things. I try and just like bring up, I guess, the questions that I would ask if I could. Not that they would answer them, but you know, so yeah, if y'all have any questions, let me know. If y'all have found anything that could answer some of my questions, let me know. That is the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I don't know. I was going to record a podcast this week about Brazil and Abu Dhabi and the politics and that sort of stuff. And here I am discussing the politics of F1 teams. My God. This sport. That is the show, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like the show, please make sure you hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions or want to follow me for day-to-day banter, follow me on Instagram or Twitter. My handle on both is @VVFCastro. Talk to y'all soon.